Thank y'all for coming.
Amen.
Amen. His pastor's right about 3 miles, 2 miles from here, down the road.
Amen.
And we love catfish. And so I think tomorrow we're going to go out and eat a bunch of catfish, and as we did about a month ago, I think. But there's nothing wrong with eating catfish. I know y'all. I know it's 10:35, and some of y'all. Now y'all hear that growling going on and stuff. It's probably it's probably Brother Ellis's stomach that he eats, man. He had me at his church about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks. Yeah. And man, again, thank you. God bless you, Rick Carter. Man, God bless you. And that son of yours, man, he's a fireball. Yeah, and God's blessing all of us. I remember Brother Stevix when he was about like this. And then he grew like this. And then he was like a light pole. I'm serious. I thought I was walking up to him, but I was walking up to a light pole. But he's grown up like his dad. Muscle man and all. Amen. But I do. I thank God that we're here today. Brother Josh, Brother Carter, I appreciate it that you talked to me about this month. And Brother Carter, Senior, God bless you in your heart for people, soul winners. And church, I tell you, if you're not a soul winner, there's something wrong. And I always have preached that. I believe even our members, Brother Terry, you know this, that I have preached this, as I mentioned. You know, if that 5-6-year-old child at 2-3 in the morning said, "Daddy, I can't sleep. I need to get saved." Now, we ought to be able to lead that person. Mom and dad ought to be able to lead that person to the Lord. But most of the time, well, we'll call the pastor. And just think, if there, even a child would go, you know, under the age of accountability, they're going to heaven. But what if it's a 12, 13-year-old and the rapture happens? Amen? Well, this morning, let's go ahead and y'all be turning there to 2 Timothy. It's well known. Is this thing? Oh, sorry about that, Anthony. Know where I'm going with this message. And I don't know about y'all, but these messages have stirred my heart, and I love it. And I'm a hyper type of man. I do a lot of amens, and I do a lot of shouting once in a while. As I mentioned at your church, Brother Carter, that I'm going to shout. There's sometimes, you know, he's quiet, but I'm capable of shouting at any time. Because y'all don't know where I came from.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Right. What's happening to our independent, fundamental Baptist movement?
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
I thank God. I thank God for my aunts and my mother. She couldn't read, write, or drive years ago. When I was yay high, Dad was in the Air Force, gone all the time. And my mother planted the seed about Jesus in my heart.
Yeah.
Then my aunts, they always prayed for me because I was the one who used to climb the trees and fall out of the trees. That's why my mother, she was so glad. She was so proud that she called me George. Y'all catch that tomorrow. Amen. But I thank God I'm saved. It was due to my aunts and my mother. And I thank God that I'm going to heaven. There's no doubt about it. I was supposedly saved when I was 19. And then I got a evangelistic trail going in my life. And I was even teaching deacons in the ABA, in the BMA. But I want to tell y'all, son, I was lost as a goose. I ended up wanting to be a chaplain in the military and got turned. They messed me all up, ended up over there in Berlin Wall, got hit by friendly fire and all that stuff. And the next thing I knew, I don't know if I'm saved or not. And then got stationed at Fort Bragg over there, and still soul winning now, but I still had that doubt. But finally, I thank God in 1990. And I've been in this stuff since I was 20, in this ministry about soul winning. But I finally got that squared away. And I praise God that He affected my life. And I praise God for my wife. And she's always in the shadows. You know what I'm talking about, preachers. Our wives, they're the key to our ministry. And I thank God for them. And I thank God for Heather, amen, my daughter there. But anyway, I thank God that I'm an independent, fundamental, snot-slinging, biscuit-eating, fundamental Baptist preacher. And I'm going to use the King James Bible, and I'm going to use it without apologies. Amen. There's nothing better than an old-fashioned sin-killing, devil-chasing preacher's meeting where the people of God will get back right with Him. Now, you live long enough and been in ministry long enough as some of us old fogies. Now, if I have a senior minute, a moment, y'all just hang in there. It'll come to me. Amen? Then you young preacher boys, y'all can take notes on that, because one day, if the rapture doesn't happen, y'all going to be there. Amen. But we're living in a day where the message of the church is changing. And a lot of it's due to this new generational preachers coming out of these liberal colleges. We have some good colleges, but there's 90% of them I wouldn't send my mother-in-law to. Amen. We live in a time where the preacher who preaches against sin is destined to be unpopular. Now, people don't want to hear preaching on sins and standards anymore. Sermons that tells them how to live and how to dress and what they must do. Preacher, you don't preach on my sins. You don't preach on my sin or I go somewhere else. Well, there's a lot of churches, Brother Prince knows what I'm talking about, that's down the road, will accept you and you'll fit right on in where you can feel comfortable in your sins. I'm going to tell you, a true man of God, listen, I wasn't called to make you feel comfortable in your sins. I was called to get you convicted about your sins. Somebody help me this morning. Our standards ought to be higher than the world's standards. I believe a man ought to dress like a man, amen, look like a man. And I believe that a woman ought to look like a woman. What we see in our choirs, and I'll tell you, and when I was a missionary, I've been through 120 churches, sharing my burden for Aguascalientes, Mexico. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen some stuff back then, but recently, since August, I've been on the road, brother, and I still get that mustard on my ties and stuff, and going to church and meeting some good people. But as you mentioned there, as you mentioned, preacher, I'm going to tell you, our conditions, these the conditions in our independent fundamental Baptist churches, it's hurting. It's not how many. I'm just traveling and I come across churches that don't even have Sunday school no more. Don't even have, they done sold their buses and their church vans. They don't even have Sunday night services. God help us. I tell you, I'm from the old ways. I'm from the old school. So as I stated, I might start shouting any time. Somebody hold my mule while I shout, amen? Amen. God's good. Yeah. Always good. Yeah. Now that was a big rabbit. I'm going to get back over here. Yes, preacher, you're preaching on my sin. So, hey, what's happening to our fundamental Baptist movement? The greatest local church movement that has ever hit North America, I'm pertaining to the independent fundamental Baptist, it was, hang on a minute. That thing's falling out. Oops. We're going to need a new mic. I'm just teasing. Amen. Has been from the Fundamental Baptist Association. Hello, Frank Norris fans.
Right.
Hello, y'all with me.
Right.
Hello, Jack Howes fan. I surrendered to preach under Jack Howes. I accepted the call out in the desert, believe it or not. I was born out in the desert, and I accepted the call to preach out in the middle of nowhere. And that's truth. And I surrendered to preach under Dr. Jack Howes.
Yeah.
There's never been a time in history where there's been more churches built for the glory of God on soul winning. Mission-minded Baptist churches, Fundamental Baptist churches.
Right.
Amen. And fellowship meetings, and where they believe in the doctrine of separation. I tell you, it's never been a movement that ever hit North America. I'm talking about America in this history. I ain't talking about the Northern Baptists or the Southern Baptists. I'm talking about those that branch off of the liberals.
Right.
Amen. That is soul winning separation. What about today? What about our independent Fundamental Baptist churches today? Now, many good churches that I mentioned, I knew at one time, but I wouldn't go back to them.
Yeah.
Amen. Although they still carry that word, that fundamental on their signs, but listen, that's far from being fundamental. That disturbs me. I tell you, I've been around some forefathers, Dr. Phillips, Dr. Harris, and Dr. Howes, Dr. Gomez and Dr. Weedo, all these guys was my forefather. And I wasn't a perfect preacher, and I still ain't a perfect preacher. I still make mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
The only perfect preacher was Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen. Let's go ahead along those lines. Let's get right into the message. As soldiers of the cross and reverence of the reading of the Word of God, let's stand, please, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to rush through this. I don't want y'all to go to sleep. Amen. Now, members, I'll tell you, man, sometimes I have to hit the pulpit. Amen. But I want to draw your attention to what's happening to our Fundamental Baptist movement. After we get to 2 Timothy chapter 4, later on the message, I know I ain't going to have enough time, but I want you to keep in the back of your mind, I'm going to be hitting some verses out of Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. Notice verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, convict, rebuke. Oh man, there's a good one there.
Yep.
Rebuke. Man. Exhort. With all long suffering and doctrine, for the time is going to come when they will not endure. We're living in that time right now. Amen.
Yeah.
But after their own lust, so they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, preachers, please understand, God didn't call us to tickle people's ears.
Right.
God called us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the number one reason I'm behind this pulpit.
Right.
To preach Christ and Christ alone. No strings attached. I love John 3:16. That's agape love. Amen. No strings attached. That's how much you and I are loved here this morning. And they should turn away their ears from the truth. We know, and it should be turning fables. The apostasy age is here, preachers. I'm quite sure y'all know that. And there is a great falling away. Look at our members. Before the COVID, we was running 110 and 120 and 130. And after the COVID, we're trying to get it back up to at least 80.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Boy.
But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions of the work of evangelists. Make full proof of the ministry. Heavenly gracious Father, as I bow before you this morning, God, I'm pleading the blood of Christ on my prayer. I want to ring the bells of heaven. I need that heaven to open. I need your heaven to open up. Feed us that manna. We're hungry, Father. Feed us that word. Prick our hearts with your spirit. Teach us, Father. In God's precious name I pray. Amen and amen and amen. You can be seated, please. Notice verse 1 to 2. I charge thee therefore before God, in other words, in the presence of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, you should judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. And here it comes now. In his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. There's no days off for the preacher.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, here I am 67 now, just the other day. And I remember that 19-year-old. I didn't know nothing when my first sermon, man, was what, 3 minutes long? I'm serious, man. People thought it was thundering. No, that was my knees knocking. Y'all remember those days? Man, that was something those days. But I really didn't know much back then. I didn't understand door knocking, and I didn't really understand the books of the Bible. And, you know, I thought Malachi was Malachi, and so on. I thought Hebrew was one that cooked coffee or something. Amen? But here, this was a charge given to young Timothy. We know this is Paul, that's Paul's preaching boy, just as Titus was. It's a charge that needs to be read. And we not only practice, but also obey. Now, we're living in a day where you can't tell the difference, as y'all have known, y'all have preached this, between the world and the church anymore. This stuff following this bouncing ball and music and this high praise, worship, and this stuff dancing all on the platform, everything hanging out. Hey, that's abomination of God. I'm talking about preachers and laymen. They're making no difference between the holy and the profane. As we find in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26. God says he's profane among them. Now, if God called you to preach, listen, you may not be the most popular person in town. But God didn't call you to be popular. God called you to preach. Take the horns on the altar and let her rip, buddy. Amen. To show his people what their transgressions, to call evil by its name. I'm not going to tiptoe around scriptures. If there's a false teacher, Brother Prince, down the road from you, I'm going to let it be known. Y'all remember my first 2 years here, the wicked tried to curse me, put spells on me in this church. Lord, you remember that. And then the homosexuals got a hold of my phone number. I had to change my phone number to, why? Because I shall not be moved. And sooner or later, they said, that can't run old brother throw out of town. You see, I'm on the Lord's side, like y'all are. Glory to be. Somebody help me this morning. Yes, I know this is old time preaching, but I know it's still right. We're living in days where preachers, including me, we often get kind of weak knees. We fail to preach like we should, you know, within its fullness. And we fail to reprove and rebuke. And because we don't want to hurt. I'm going to tell you something. I'm a granddaddy. And I remember, you know, here I am. We met Chris and Dad. I had 3 kids. And, man, I was rough with them and spanked them and all this stuff. Now I'm a granddaddy, and it's hard to spank my grandkids. Ain't that a change? You know, wait till I look like Moses. Man, little man. Amen. But we fail in a lot of areas. We don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. You can't preach without telling somebody what to do, preachers. When you open that book, every page is God. Jesus is on every page. And we know that. Hey, you can't preach without telling somebody what to do. Read the book. It's a judgment book of Almighty God. And it's the power of God unto what, church?
unto salvation. And what the Bible says about one sin, the Bible says about all sin. All unrighteousness is sin. That's what the Word of God says. And we failed to recognize that to a point we do, to a point we don't. And when you fail to read the Word of God, it's sin. It's a sin of omission. How's our faith today? Do we have enough faith that we could go to the bad part of town and knock a door, even though that's where you might get shot? Right. Do we have the faith to knock that door? I'm going to tell you something. I think all dogs are demons. I've been peed on, bit, German shepherds and the little chihuahuas, and I think they came. I better not go there. All unrighteousness is sin. Oh, glory to God. Somebody help me this morning. Our dudes and don'ts is in that lap that book that you have and you're holding there in your lap. It tells us how to be saved. It tells us how to raise a family. And most of all, it tells you how to get to heaven. That's a compass to your life. And I thank God for the compass. It's the best family manual you can have. That's why I have one by my bed. That's why I have one in my office, more than one. That's why I have one in the living room. Because as you mentioned, there's some simple stuff on the God with the glass face, which I always called in the last 20 years the Babylonian idiot box. Right. Amen. Now, if I get a sprinting, brother, y'all just hang in there. It's all right. When you get old, you're foam at the mouth, and I don't have rabies. Amen. Yes. It's a sheep book. But I wonder how many of us have read the book this past week. We pick it up, look at a servant, and lay it back down. Somebody, hey, I'm guilty of it.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Please understand, preaching the Word of God. Here it comes, the church. It brings conviction. And when it's anointed, preacher and preaching, and the preacher is filled with the Spirit of God, and he puts that word out there, I guarantee you, you're going to chew on it all day long. I tell you, you're going to chew on it all night long. You ain't even going to burp. You're going to love it. Amen. You chew on it all week long. Because why, preachers? Because there's power in the Word of God. This past week, we know across the states and even here in McAllister, we had some bad storms. Arkansas really got hit too with our folks over there. And in one of the storms they was talking about on that weather channel, there was 1,500 flashes of lightning in 1 minute. In 1 minute. And after the lightning would strike, you heard the thunder. It was not the thunder that I'm concerned about. And I'm not worried about it. You'll see where I'm going. It's the lightning.
Yeah, right.
It's the lightning strikes. Because it sets some things on fire. Oh, right. Somebody help me. I'm going somewhere, Brother Terry.
Now.
If I have suspenders on, you're going to have to hold them. After the lightning would strike. Yes, the thunder just made a lot of noise. But here it comes. But the lightning set some things on fire. Somebody help me today. You could, Brother Prince, I've probably heard the sirens here and there out there where I live in such a places. And it's in the distance from where I was. But it was not the thunder that was causing all the problems. It was the lightning strikes. Oh, glory to God. And don't listen to preacher's thunder, because a lot of times we're just a bunch of noise. Amen. It's the Word, the lightning of the Word that set things on fire, Brother Terry. I'm going to tell you, when the man of God gets in his prayer closet and get on his knees and start praying for the prayers, the prayers go up and the prayers come down, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some lightning in there. And when the Word of God opens up, yes, there'll be some thunders in the distance. But that man of God, when he confesses sins, when he asks God to anoint his soul, before he gets to that pulpit, he's going to fire you up.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord and shame on that devil. Yes. It's the Word
that set things on fire. Because if you really know the word, you don't need any preacher to excite you for what you're doing. You be going out in the desert driving, and you start shouting and yelling. Even the desert squirrels and the gophers will smile. I'm a deer hunter. And I'm going to tell you something. It's rough when you've used a pastor and been around for a while. And when I was deer hunting, I was preaching to squirrels out there, man. I had a little gathering. Turkeys came up from Washington. And anyway, it was something there. Some of y'all need to smile. Amen. I'm going to call your mother-in-law. Woo! My wife, Brother Prince, y'all ain't taking notes on that, are you? Brother Prince taught me to say that. I better stand over here and say that. Brother Prince taught me to say that. But I thank God for the word. It's a sword. It's sharper. It is a sharp sword, is it not? But when you read it for yourself, God's word has enough power to set you on fire in your living room, in your prayer closet, in your office, preachers. I mean, how many times, preachers, y'all done this, and you worked 3-4 days on that message for Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then you give the message, and yeah, the altars are filled, but there was nobody saved. I want to tell you, it's my heart desire to see people saved. But I leave, and I go in that office, the church is empty, I'm not eating lunch, I'm in that office saying, God, forgive me, because there wasn't no movement in your services today. And the Holy Spirit will use 2 or 3 people that night, brother. And that night, and they come up to me, brother, throw, that was a good message.
Right.
And I said, y'all been there, y'all done that, you thought it was the worst message you ever preached. But somebody got a hold of it.
Yeah.
I'm not perfect.
Right.
I'm not perfect at all. Glory to God. My wife will say amen 10 times on that. But it excites you just to set the Bible, the Word of God, to set you on fire. Notice verse 2 again. I got to move on faster. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. That's not our opinion to consider. I think that's a command. Y'all see that? From your Lord and Savior. Preach the Word. Why? Because it's powerful. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. Oh, Lucifer tried to keep Jesus in that tomb. I want to tell you something. When that third day, that old death angel, y'all remember those sermons? That old death angel, Lucifer said, hey, you still got him in there? Y'all heard that sermons before. And death angel said, no, he's moving. I'm going to tell you something. My Jesus is alive. And he, the method of death for him was the cross of Calvary. But it didn't stop there. It stopped at the tomb. I'm going to tell you, the empty tomb proves Christianity. And I have Jesus living in me. And Lord, I know my guardian angel's got gray hairs right now. Oh yeah, y'all been there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. Preach the word. Why? Because church authority comes from the word of God. Preach the word. Why? Because it brings salvation. Peter preached the word. Y'all know all this is elementary preaching and some of this. 3,000 souls were saved. It was, he put the word out there. And that's what I was saying. There's time where we get discouraged and we have to talk to God. And a lot of times, I do cry and tears come to my eyes. But God comes around and I can imagine, after winning 3,000 souls, how Peter must have felt. And as we had a 2-week revival in 2015. Charles Hamilton came here. And where did 75 people get saved? We had the black churches here, and we had to bring chairs in. I want to tell you, son, God filled this place. And I think out of that was, 10, 12 baptized and all that? Because most of them went back to their churches.
But again, the power of God is not, you know, let me say it this way. The power of God comes from God.
Yeah.
And He uses me. He uses you.
This
earthly sinful, I'm a chief of sinners. I don't understand why God would stand me up behind the sacred desk and preach. I don't understand that. And I said, God, you use me, and I don't understand that. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit would come. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
There's some people I want to put to the windows of your heart.
Yeah.
Amen. How many of y'all wore out shoes? We used to, when I was younger, man. 6 months down there at Bible Baptist with Brian Kelly. We door knock every day. And I loved it. I had dealer shoes on. Back then it was, what, $100 for those things? In 6 months, I had holes in them. I didn't care. I kept wearing them. Dr. Baker seen me praying at the altar one night. I didn't know he was watching me. The next thing I knew, that following Monday, when I showed up at Bible Baptist, he called me in his office and said, here. I said, what's this? It was those same type of shoes, same thing. And it was about $100. And tears came to my eyes. He said, we noticed your holes in your shoes. And I still have those shoes to remind me. Now, when you get older, that helps. Amen. Now, these guys, they can comprehend a lot. You know, I used to have just a skeleton outline. Now I got a book. Now, Brother Terry's coming on a little bit. I noticed a couple more pages on his sermons. Ask the brother over there. He's got a little pages, a couple of them. Amen. Yes. It's the Word of God. It has power in it. Oh, it has power in it. Romans chapter 1, verse 15 and 17 tells us to preach Christ, which brings salvation. As I just mentioned that verse earlier. Why? Because it's the power of God. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did he not? Power of God into salvation. And Peter, 1 Peter tells me, I'm kept by the power of God. John, this Calvinist and 99 religions in this town. Listen, devil doesn't have more power than God.
Right.
I believe in the spirit of a believer.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know I probably let God down sometimes. That's why, you know, I woke up some nights with 1,000 fleas in my armpits. But I got back right with God. Amen. But Peter tells us that I'm kept by the power of God. And He's not going to throw me away because I messed up. He's not going to throw me away because you messed up.
Yeah.
Amen. We're all not perfect in here. Well, I know it's hard. Some of y'all have big churches. Some of you have churches like this. And I know it's hard. Especially, you know, Dr. Harris and Brother Files in Jacksonville, that one time, there was running 600 people back in 98 and 99 when I was on staff over there. A bus director, I was running 349 kids.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you something, it's tough because of the parents. You have parents, y'all all know this stuff, it's the elementary stuff. And I'm going to tell you what, you got to suck it up.
Yeah.
You got to suck it up. And that's what we have to do. But with me being a country boy, that's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard. Somebody said, preacher, what happened? What would happen if somebody came up and slapped your wife? And I said, well, no. I said, well, I know the Bible says turn the cheek. But I won't tell you, preachers, I'm not that spiritual yet. You touch my family as y'all would protect your family. And Peter had a sword, did he not? And we have that sword here. Amen. Amen. Let's move on. Let's move on. Yes, verse 2, as we just mentioned, preach the word. And we have preacher boys that's not here. We have members got to work today and that's not here. But we may have some preacher boys in here. Listen, always be ready to preach.
Right.
What's that? 2 Peter 2:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready to give the reason and hope and the answer to somebody. Why are you saved? Be ready. Be on call. Preaching is not something that we do only when we feel like doing. Always be ready. And when you get alone with God and it doesn't stir your heart to preach, listen, there's something wrong somewhere, amen. And I tell you, I don't tiptoe around the tulips. And I know I'm 67, but I still put gunpowder on my eggs in the morning. I don't have lace on my underwear, and I don't have pantyhose on. I know preaching, you have to have compassion. We get to that here in a moment. But I want to tell you something. When God calls you to preach, and especially in these last days, and these God-forsaken false teachers that's out there, preach.
Yeah.
Preach. And preach doctrines from Christ.
Right. Yeah.
Of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Get a hold. Get a hold of God.
Yeah.
Yes. When you get a hold of God, listen, you'll stand up and you'll let her rip. It doesn't matter how much money they have. It doesn't matter how much clout they have. If they're a city council, I had mayors in here in the past. I had city council. Listen, I'm still not going to change my sermon.
Right.
Amen, preacher. Yes, somebody got to help me this morning. He said, preach with boldness. Paul tells Timothy, those that sin rebuke before all that others might fear. Preach. Now, I know there's some great orators out there. I understand that. But there's times in the preacher's life, should be a lot of times, that the man of God needs to get on his knees. Because a lot of times my theology is weak. And I need to stay there until I get revived.
Amen.
You want a revival in your church? Get in your prayer closet, pastors.
Right. Right.
And you stay there. And when you get revived, your people will be revived. Somebody help me this morning.
Amen.
I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel something coming on.
Good.
Praise God. Praise the Lord, and shame on that devil.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes, I'm talking about getting alone with God and asking God to renew the right spirit in us. Forgive us, Father, for when we have failed you. Forgive us where we should have witnessed and we passed that house or we didn't hand that tract out in that store. Forgive me for not meeting this certain family needs for counseling. And y'all been there once and here and once there. And listen, please, God, and we pray this. Please renew my heart. Please forgive me of my coldness this past week on brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or this one church family, because I need God. I need God on my side. I am nothing. I never will be nothing. He's the something. And I'm just a messenger. I'm just the under-shepherd. But I love God. And I can't let nobody influence me. I can't let the Babylon India box influence me. I can't let this and let that influence me. Because listen, I believe in God. I believe in the grace. I believe in the mercy of all God. And I must stay separated from the world. And when I stay separated from the world, I will separate unto Him.
Right. Right.
Praise God. I tell you, when a preacher gets his heart right before he mounts up in that pulpit, no telling what God's going to do.
Yeah.
Yes, do you understand? In these last days, many of the churches across America has put God on the sidelines.
Right.
Yes. And the social gospel is out there, and the mega church is out there. We know what we're talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Which portrays Jesus with the long hair. I'm going to tell you, my Savior, it is blasphemy to me. I'm going to tell you, son, here's somebody that saved me. He didn't have to save me. But how dare them picture Jesus with the long hair and leaning over the side of the boat, twirling water with his finger. Hey, my Jesus wasn't a skinny hippie. He was a carpenter's son. He was the Son of God. And that's God in the flesh. Hello, John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh. Yes. And I still haven't gotten anybody to show me from the Bible Jesus had long hair.
Right.
I still offer $100 bill to anybody, even today. You show me that Jesus had long hair.
Right.
But I show you he had a beard. And I show you from the Old Testament he had hairs on his toes.
Right.
Oh, y'all with me? There's things that you pick up over the years. And there are other things I can't remember. Amen. Yes. Yes. Jesus leaned on the side of the boat. Yeah, but preacher, he's a God of love, and he's there you go. Y'all gotta quit shopping at Walmart. Jesus is not a hippie. He's not a sissy. I mean, I'm up here breathing his air.
Yeah.
I'm driving his cars.
Right.
Hey, man, he put a roof on my house. I've been eating his food.
Right.
How dare me to say, God, hang on a minute, you owe me.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something, don't get in that position, guys.
Right.
I've seen pastors, song leaders in Arkansas where he tempted God because God took his wife. In less than a year, God took his baby.
Yeah.
Don't tempt God.
Right.
I don't want to go there. That's a whole different message. Y'all know your Bibles. Y'all know where I'm going, what I was talking about. Now, yes, I tell you, if you're living in sin, get out of it, please. Why? Because the judgment's about to come. Judgment is about to come. Why do we want to hide sin? You can't hide sin from God. We know that. This is where we're at. Preachers and Christians we're losing the sight of sin. As a matter of fact, the church as a whole is growing less concerned with sin and more obsessed embracing the demands of the liberal church member. I'll tell you where it comes in, is when the pastor, listen, we shouldn't have to have a rock and roll band at the church again. I have the same faith as you have, and you have the same faith as I have, and we all have the same faith that Peter had. You build the work of God, you build your church on the word of God. And God will bless that. You study the book. It'll prick your hearts. Listen, when you open the book, heaven comes down to you. Hey, man, you build the church on the word of God. And you go out into the highways and the hedges. And I'll tell you what, I was talking to somebody here this morning. I've been shot at. I had knives pulled on me. I'm telling you, when I was younger, you know what I mean? But now, they're probably a little, I look like, Mr. Potato sometimes. But I've been cussed out, shotguns pulled on me. But I'm not quitting.
Right.
Before I got into the evangelistic trail 19, my mutation, I'm a redneck country boy from Arkansas. And we don't take nothing. Amen. And I tell you, I've been beat up, been left out there in the fields before.
Right.
And I got up, had little bruises on me. And all those times, Mama said, God loves you. God's going to take care of you. Who is God? You know? And then my daddy was an alcoholic, a Catholic. Oh, man, I'm going to tell you something. He comes home drunk. And I watched him hit Mama and my brother and me. And so we're about a rookie when it comes down to preaching on the home.
Yeah.
I know what it is. When I first got here, first 10 years, I was putting battered wives up in the Motel 6 over here.
Right.
Now they have a home, something that helps them.
Right.
I'm going to tell you guys something. Never hit a woman.
Right.
I never hit a woman. And I learned that a long time ago. But the home front, all our problems we see across this planet, and all of our kids growing in this and growing in that, is due to the fact because it starts in the home. Somebody failed in the home. And somebody failed in the leaderships of the churches too. Y'all, that's old preaching. Y'all already know all that. But we got to get God back in our pulpits. And I got to hurry up. It's 11:15. When did I get out here? 2? Oh, I know. Amen. Boy, it got quiet in there. They thought it was time to pray. You see all their heads go down. Brother Carter, I love you, man. Yeah. Yes, this is where we're at. church has grown less concerned for souls. This is when you remove the reality of sin, you take away any possibility of repentance. Amen. I need a witness. You show me a preacher who stands up and winks at sin, and I will show you somebody's trying to hide sin. Amen. Sin in their own lives. Pornography. Missionaries come off the field. I ain't a rookie in this. I already know. I supported some of them. And I get on that Facebook and stuff like that, and they get back to their high school girlfriends, and y'all been there. Y'all know. And it breaks my heart. God's money going to a missionary. He's out there on vacation. This church, I wish we had the money. I'd be going everywhere checking on the missionaries. I want to tell you, Brother Files did that. And he came back and gave us a report on a couple of them. And him and Dr. Harris took them off the missions, out of the missions, because they was on the beach. They didn't have soul winning. They was dressing like people doing at Walmart. And so on. What's happening to our fundamental Baptist movement? There's always been, you know, this always been an imperative. We need more spirit-filled, God-called preachers today. But what we all see today throughout our churches, we have the numbers, but we don't have the strength that y'all understand. We don't have the power as we used to. That's why I'm real strong in there. I get in here, and I said, God, you got to feel me. There's nothing, I can't get this thing kick-started. God, you got to help me. Spirit of God, help me today. Help me on Sunday mornings. Help me when I'm out on the road. I got to get a kickstart, because you never be the same when God moves in on your territory.
Right.
When God shows up your churches, the people will know.
Yeah.
But if I'm cold, the people's going to be cold.
Right.
How many times, Brother Anthony, I mentioned y'all behind, and when I was up here, and I look at y'all, and I say it to you too. Now I said, Brother Terry, you got to help me today. The people's cold.
Yeah.
When you've been around God long enough, you can sense it. Brother Anthony, you heard me say that. Brother Roberto's has to work today. And I've done that and done that, because there's something. When you get alone with God, you can't forget, you know, how you feel, how this happens in your life and that happens in your life. And then all of a sudden, you know, man, God, I stayed up to 3 a.m. I stayed up to 4 a.m. or I stayed up, and Father, I don't want to let you down. It's not me. It's not me, Father, but I don't want to let you down. And then we get up even during the announcement, and they're starting to sleep. I would tell you something. Don't never, when you come in, the house of God, never leave the way you came in. Never leave the way you came in. There's something wrong when people can't pick that up.
Right.
We got good preachers in here, and there's some I wish been here. Y'all know more than I do that's around Oklahoma. I know more in Arkansas. But there's some good pastors and preachers in this room.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. We have numbers, but we don't have the strength, no power, no conviction. There's not much biblical convictions being practiced, much less on the standards. I'm telling you, we have programs, but we don't have the power. When you have a small church, it's easy to get into the, I don't want to make her mad. I don't want to make them mad, because after all, they give $600 a month and the offering is about $700. Oh God, if I lose them, we won't be able to print bulletins. We won't be able to do this. I'll tell you something. I've been there when I took over this church out of that little building right next door. And this was just half finished. A church was in debt. All this was empty. And I want to tell you something. And I said, God, we're broke. We need this. And we got a couple of good tithers. But God, please, prick my heart on this. And God said, have a stewardship conference.
Yeah.
And we did. Well, my third month, fourth month here, back in 2005 or something like that, six.
And we raised the money to help finish this building here. And I want to tell you something, but it still goes. Brother Terry, I taught you a lot of stuff in my office. You watched me. You heard me. You and Anthony came to my office. I mean, y'all was this wide. When you left, you had that. Amen? Why did I do that? Because I love them. I don't want them to make mistakes like I have. I know I was tough. Jack Howes was tough on me. Dr. Harris, Dr. Phillips, and even Brother Weedle. When I was younger, why? I go out to the bus barn there at Bible Baptist all by myself and sit on a little rusted chair and cry. I don't understand. It seemed like every time I turned around, it was in your face. And then finally, I just learned, as you preached, trials are going to come. The devil loved to do anything to kill me. Yep. I mean, especially in this sinful town that we have here. They tried it. They shot at me. I was that little thing right next door with my parsley for 15 years, and they shot at me at the house. And they came around, trying to do this and do that. But I'm going to tell you something. God said, you leave that boy alone. And we still continue door knocking. Then Anthony and Brother Nick, he has to work. But these three guys, my staff, 7 days a week. Brother Anthony, as soon as he got married there in Arkansas, how long have you been with me? 13 years? 14? And man, he's a computer man, big time. And that helps. He's a sound man. But we didn't have nothing a long time ago. All I had is that little old building with 22 adults and 10 kids. You see, it's not about me. I'm getting out of the way. It's about him. Amen. That fellowship hall, we're all pitched in. Did we not? About in, 5, 6, 7 years ago? I don't know how long. 2015. And I'm going to tell you something. But there's times where you're worrying about this and worrying about that. And that's the flesh. I understand that. But here, let me say this. And I got to move on. I'm giving you my heart here. There's times when you don't know this and you can't figure this thing out. Listen, you just gotta buckle down. You gotta get on your knees. And God will open the doors where the doors was closed. Has He not been good to us? Every time, Brother Stivics, you preachers, y'all listen up. When the devil gets me down, that's hard to do. But when he gets me down behind that wall over there, I'm going to tell you something. You know what comes over me? The Holy Spirit starts telling me, son, remember all the blessings I gave you. Amen. And all of a sudden, a smile comes on my face. You see, the devil wants to destroy every one of us because we're fundamental Baptists. Now, Baptists ain't going to get me to heaven. All right? Y'all know that stuff. But there's nothing wrong going first class. And what is a fundamental Baptist? It's a tea party off the Baptist. Right? Y'all with me? Amen. I got to move on. Yes, when I was young, a 19-year-old on an evangelistic trail, and I kind of preached out in these little country churches over there in Arkansas, here and there, still didn't know much. And I started, it sounded good, looked good, but I wasn't really saying much. Amen. Yeah. When you really love the Word, when you really love preaching, and you bend to the burning bush, listen, when you bend to the burning bush, and the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, just anybody can't preach at you.
Right.
I was young. I was just making a bunch of noise. You see, preachers, God's not concerned about how high I jump when I preach or sitting out there as a lot of the doctors have taught me. Praise God. Glory to God. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Nothing. But what God is concerned is not how high I jump or how loud I shout. Is how I come down on Monday morning.
Right.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. And amen. Yes, what's happening to our independent Baptist movement? Yes.
I believe we had tiptoe. We did this and do that and done that. I'm going to go ahead and skip some notes here because I want to get this and get to these golden nuggets. That's going to make some of you preachers shout this morning. I pray that you already got some little excitement stored up in that old heart of yours. Yeah, and the man of God that has the power on him, that's what we need in these, in our pulpit in these last days. Yes. Don't never change your message about who's going to show up. Never apologize. Now, I go out here and say, Brother Stevens, I'm sorry, man. I offended you. But when I preach, I never apologize for preaching.
Right.
But I will out there.
Yeah.
If I offend you, I'm sorry. Amen. The Word of God, listen, even if you're living in sin, it's the Word of God that convicts you under the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Right.
Now, real fast, remember I mentioned Nehemiah chapter 8. Go ahead and turn there and just follow on. I can't read all the verses. I'm just going to touch on them while I'm preaching here. We got to go. We got to go. Listen, and all the people says what? Y'all know Nehemiah chapter 8. And all the people says what, preachers?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Verse 6 there. Now, y'all stay with me. The sound of the church that was in was the sound in even, we're talking about even in Israel, Israel day, is amen. Verse 6 there. Now, amen means, y'all know this is true. I agree with that. And by the way, Jesus refers himself to, he's the amen, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Now, to say amen, I'm agreeing this is true, not for my glory, not for your glory, but for God's glory. Glory to God. But because I'm not saying it doesn't mean I should not agree, but it's in the Word of God, is it not? It's the Word of God, even as if you're a whoremonger, even if you're a drunkard, even if you're a pornographer in pornography. Please stay with me. Much preaching, as I see today, has become crowd-pleasing. You notice that there in Nehemiah chapter 8, the Bible says the people called for Ezra, a Baptist there, to come and read to them from the book of the law, a scroll. And he stood behind the pulpit made of wood above the people to show the authority that he has under the power of Almighty God. This is good stuff. And it's not Ezra. He's a hero here. It's God. God, it's his word. Because those of us who who's preaching, I don't have no authority except it's given to me from God Almighty. Lives would change when you stick by the book. Preaching. Listen, we get older and we get kind of brain cramped once in a while, but I still love God. Direction is given by the authority of the Word of God. As I mentioned, life changed by the Word of God. The Bible said that Ezra opened up the book. Look at it. Verse 6, I believe. And the people stood up and they looked at it. Amen. And amen. And amen. I'm going to tell you something. There's time where the preachers preach on separation, blue jeans and tight stuff. And all the men of our churches would say amen. But when I start hammering the man that's supposed to be in charge of the house, it's like ghosts.
Right.
Well, I mean, just like, and it doesn't bother me to see people at the altar. No, it's what bothers me when you start preaching on their sin, everybody looks up the ground.
Yeah. Right.
How many times, Brother Anthony, you heard me say, there ain't time for praying.
Boy.
It's time to get busy for God. Folks, if worship is going to be true and biblical, in the hearts of God's people, here it comes. There must be a longing, a desire for the Word of God. A desire for the heart, a hunger for the Word of God. And I tell you, I feel something coming on, Brother Dave. I feel something coming on. And God wants me to go this direction, and I will go this direction. The psalmist says in Psalms chapter 42, verse 1, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul. And that's I'm looking at that verse. After thee, O God, as a deer
is panting, as a deer is panting for the water.
Yeah.
Amen. That's the soul of the believer. I'm panting.
Right.
I'm panting as that deer panting at the soul of the water. A longing, a hungry, a hunger for my Savior, for the Word of God. And when I come to church and hear preaching, and I want somebody to stand up and preach. And stand up and preach, because listen, my heart is sitting now as you're sitting there, and my heart be going, give me some more. Why? I'm panting for the Word of God. I need the Word of God, because this is my staircase to heaven right here, and through Jesus Christ, that's how I'm going to get to God.
Yeah.
Amen. What, John 14:6. Glory to God. Somebody help me. I heard it last Sunday. It did something good to me last Sunday. But church, preacher, listen, I messed up Monday. I wasn't all there Tuesday. And I lied Wednesday. I got tripped up Thursday. But by the time Sunday morning rolls around, you know what I was doing? Feed me, God, feed me. As a deer wanting a drink of water. Somebody help me this morning. Give me more, preacher. Give me more, preacher. I'm thirsty. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, what? After righteousness. Amen. Because when you're hungry for it, oh, Lord, God knows you're hungry, because He's going to fill your cup. And I promise you, all these times, y'all know this. My prayer is when you get, don't leave the way you came in. But also, I want you to leave knowing you've been in the house of God.
Yeah.
I want every McAllister person knowing they know this. This is a lighthouse of the community.
Oh, yeah.
That's Brother Prince's church. Lighthouse of this community.
Yep.
And they need Jesus Christ. Yeah. We got a church, and y'all heard this, and this is not a figure of speech here. And you and I talked about it. What are the 50-something churches? 54 is a church in this small little thing on every corner. You got JWs, you got the Mormons down the road, and you got the Wesley Brothers churches. There's two or three of them down here, and you got the Lutheran church, and you got about five, six branches of Lutheran and Presbyterians that came off the Roman Greek. Branch off the Roman Empire, and now they're branched off the Catholic Church, and now we're listening to what they have done. Y'all know that he preached it. I know we got to go, but I'm going to tell you, when I was in the Army, you was too. You was in the Army, right? I thought so. Listen, they tried to tell me I was a Protestant, and I'm going to tell you something, even drill sergeants in my face, you wasn't going to put no Protestant on my dog tag. Because when you get shot, that dog tag, how they're going to identify you, they stick it in your teeth. That's how they identify the soldier. And I want mine to say Baptist.
Amen.
And they realize, you know, why would he want to kick this guy out of the Army? That's his preference.
Yeah.
And I think I changed some teachings down there at Fort Bliss back in 85. And but anyway, listen, that was another rabbit. Paul told Timothy to preach the word, amen? Not our opinions.
Right.
Hey, don't preach your pet peeves.
Right.
I've seen that in my life. I've done it when I was younger, man. We got a pet peeve, somebody offended us, we stay on that. I think one of y'all mentioned it. We stay on that thing for 6 months because somebody offended you.
Oh, yeah.
Move on. Fall it down, it doesn't make you a failure.
Right.
Staying down makes you a failure.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Be instant in season. That means they want. That means when they want to hear it and when they don't want to hear it. Be ready, always. Amen. You really love the word, when you really love preaching, not just anybody could preach at you. Amen. And I already hit that. I ain't gonna hit no more on that, because we gotta move on. We gotta move on. Now listen, every time the church door is open, there's something in it for you.
Oh, yeah.
There's something in it for you. If I'm not leading the worship, I ought to be in the background supporting whoever's in that pulpit. If I'm not leading, Brother Terry, I ought to shout you down. Now, I don't want you to get that big, but you know what I mean? That's how the Holy Spirit works. And I ought to be in the background cheering on the person who's leading the flock. And if I'm not singing, and y'all don't want me to sing, but if I'm not singing, we ought to cheer the singers on. But I want to tell you something. To build a church, you got to have a good Sunday school organization. You can't just build a church on the bus ministry. You got to have a proper Sunday school organization. When your Sunday school class grows, and listen, if I'm not a preaching a sermon, somebody else is, as I just mentioned, we ought to be out there to supporting our brothers.
Right.
Hey, man, ain't it amazing, the preacher boys? You know, we used to have Chris Dallas in the past here. We had Charles Hamilton, had some tough preachers in here. Dr. Miller,
right.
Dean Miller, Junior Miller.
Right.
All these are big preachers now. And once in a while, our preacher boy, amen. Amen. I'm going to tell y'all, son, it's not for our glory.
Right.
It's disrespect.
Yeah.
For even this man right here, if nobody says amen.
Right.
Because you're saying to God, well, I know what he's saying might be right.
Yeah.
Or the preacher boys are thinking about a girlfriend.
Uh-oh.
You know? I'm going to tell y'all, son, y'all don't need to be thinking about that. You kids that's not graduated yet. You get in Bible college, good sound doctrine Bible college, and you stay biblical separation.
Right.
You
right.
practice that, and then God will give you, your senior year probably, you ladies here, God will probably give you a little bow-legged boy with big eyes, you know, wobble when he walks.
Amen.
That's what y'all got to look forward to. Amen. Amen. Dave's mate came up to me, but preacher, when I think about him, the trees lean. Well, I get new glasses.
Yeah, but
y'all remember those things? Hey, man, I picked that up years ago. I'm just picking on you, Dave. Hey, y'all, you try this. Don't you know? I tease a lot, okay? Like y'all tease. When that teenage girl, one of your members, you watching girl. You guys tease. You know, preachers think about starting a Baptist nun school. I've been trying that for years, and they still grow up and get married. And the parents said, preacher, I thought you'd help us on that. Well, I can't pull the rabbit out of the hat. No, it's just a joke. Amen. And I'll close with this. This is an illustration I'm going to close with. Y'all with me? Now this is ought to get you shouting like Baptist Pentecost here. Y'all want to shout once in a while? Go ahead. You wake up the other person next to you. Amen.
Good.
What it must have been like to be with Elijah
on
Mount Carmel.
Right.
Oh man, I had a pile of wood there, had all that water gather around them, and all of a sudden the fire fell from heaven, the fire fell from heaven and consumed that water, everything around it. And it charged those people that was watching it. They had observed it. They got kind of fired up a little bit. What must it look like or been? When Moses came up to the burning bush, amen. It was fire on the bush, it was around the bush, it was in the bush, but the bush wasn't consumed. All of a sudden, the voice of God came out of that bush and said, Moses, your feet, you on my holy ground, kick those shoes off. Amen. I feel something coming on. I do, I really do. What it must have been like when Solomon dedicated the temple. And the fire came down and burned that sacrifice up.
Yeah, it ate it up. What it must have been like, I got to move on. In the year that King Uzziah died. Now Isaiah said, I saw also the Lord on high lift it up.
Right.
Lift it up in his train. Talking about his robe. His robe, I'm looking at the verse. Filled the temple in the house of God were filled with smoke.
Right.
Somebody help me now.
Yeah.
Even the angels shouted, holy, holy, holy. And the whole earth was filled, as the scripture said, with his glory.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, oh, glory to God, even the doorpost shook. Y'all feel some shaking going around. I ain't in California. I'm here in Cornerstone. There's going to be some shaking. There ought to be some shaking going around.
Amen.
One commentary said, the wood shouted. The wood shouted. Let me recap this. Now, the scripture says the train filled the temple and smoke filled the house. Now, Isaiah says the doorpost literally moved. It moved. Now, don't miss this. And a piece of wood shouted.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I could park it right there. Y'all, hey, Calvary, I could see Jesus on the piece of wood.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, forgive them. Glory to God. Y'all stay with me. Y'all please stay with me. And the pitch wood moved. It shouted in the presence of God. And the doorpost moved. The doorpost shouted. And the doorpost, if you read into it, it jumps out of its surrounding. And then doorpost shouted. Why? Why? Because it was the living God's. It was the presence of God in the room. You ain't going to hurt my feeling if y'all want to stand up and shout once in a while.
Right.
I'm not charismatic. I don't believe in the tongue flappers.
Amen.
I don't believe in that. If you fall on the floor right now and you start shaking like a wild turkey or something, we're going to call the ambulance on you.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
I don't believe in that charismatic stuff. But I still believe in the Word of God. When the Israelites got excited, they did something.
Yeah.
Amen. Never would have been a Pentecostal, a Baptist movement in 1904 if Baptists would have been like, we were shouting before they even came about.
Right.
Yeah, God woke you up this morning, did he not?
Boy.
Now, if the wooden objects can shout in the presence of God, what is wrong with us shouting for the Word of God?
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
God work us up, and that's a glory, that's a blessing. And God put food on your table, made your enemies his footstool. He provided you some open doors where the door's been closed in your face.
Right.
And he made a way for you this way and that way where there seemed to be no way. Hey, listen, I don't need these poles in this church to start shouting. When I don't shout, you understand?
Right.
I made up my mind years ago, nobody wants to praise God, I will.
Right.
And nobody wants to thank God, I will.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to pass out tracts, I will.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to come out soul winning. You know, if you're hell, some of us older, sometimes you can't help it because the doctor got you on Fifi juice or something. But if nobody wants to tell God, thank you, as I mentioned. Listen, if nobody wants to say amen in the house of God, I'm going to say amen. I would bless the Lord all the time. Oh, his praise should be continually, as the scripture says, it should be in your mouth.
Yep.
The doorpost shouted. The doorpost moved.
Good.
Because of the presence of God. What will it take to move us this morning? What will it take? I need a witness.
Right.
I need a witness. The doorpost shook at the voice of him that cried. You better tell God thank you. You better honor the Lord with the first fruit of your lips.
Yeah.
So many times, us preachers, we get this our hobbies off our chest, and then the rest of the time our lips are closed. If a piece of wood could shout, what's keeping you to shout?
Right.
God supposedly spoke to us. Every time we open that Bible,
oh yeah,
we have to be shouting in the office. I go down. How many times y'all went and stopped at the red light?
Oh yeah.
I mean, you got the, you got that younger generation as that beat to that music going on, and I don't want anything to get there. But I'm going to tell you something. When I have that flash drive in my car, it's the Clark family or the Rochesters. I'll boom. And I don't have to bebop like that doll on the dashboard. I don't do that. I don't believe in that, calling those demon spirits up from the grave like that. But I just sat there and I just raised my hand. You see, I'm surrendering.
Boy.
And I'm giving God praise. Amen. And amen. And amen. Well, I tell you, I'm going to have to tell you, it's been a long time, perhaps, since some of y'all really, really got some things settled with God, all of us in here. And we always preach on the members, preach on the members.
Yeah.
But when was the last time you asked God to give you a burden for this family and that family?
Right.
When was the last time? When was the last time you knelt, not only in your office at an altar as y'all have been here, when was the last time you honored and praised the Lord? When was the last time a tear rolled down your cheek because of Calvary? Because where God found you. But certainly when the last time a tear ran down your cheek when that person rejected not you, but Christ, when you got them to Romans chapter 10. And that happened to me in California. I broke it down so easy. And I said, you told me earlier, God would set you as you are. Yes, sir, I did. I said, wouldn't you like to accept him as he is, your Lord and personal Savior? Okay. And I said, well, I had to try it to him. I said, I want you to, from the bottom of your heart, being sincere with it, and ask God to forgive your sins. Read the track. Look at the track. Give him a jump start. I need a jump start here.
Right.
And then he said, I can't. I don't know how to do that. I said, well, I'll pray with you.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow along with me. But if you're not sincere with it, you can tell me what I want to know, and you're still going to die and go to hell down the road.
Yep.
And I started praying. He just got a little jump start with it. It just stops. And Brother Ryan, the Filipino church preacher down there in Bakersfield,
right.
He was my second partner. He said, preacher. He kind of whispered to me. He was praying down his breath. And I said, what's wrong, brother? Not to the preacher, but to that. I ain't going to do this. Just came out and said, I ain't going to do this. When was the last time we shed a tear? I'm going to tell you something. It breaks my heart.
Yeah.
And I know it breaks Jesus' heart. They're not rejecting us, preachers.
Right.
They're rejecting Jesus.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But it hurts. It really hurts. I mean, they're all excited. And then you walk away and you say, God, I let you down. The Holy Spirit said, no, you didn't. You planted the seed, and I get with that person later. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
When was the last time you shed a tear for a family that that just really needs some help and they don't want you to help them?
Yeah.
Lord Jesus, would you lay some lost soul upon my heart? And the best that I know how, I would love to lead that person to the Lord.
Yeah.
We pray. Here's the thing. We plant the seed. The Holy Spirit comes around and He watereth. And we go out. Yes, our heart breaks. Because, listen, we see through the eyes of Jesus. And I'm done. We see through the eyes of Jesus. And when we see through, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. When we see like Jesus sees, the preacher, please, Glenn, I had learned this in a hard way a long time ago. We become the kind of Christians. Soul winners that Christ wants us to.
Yeah.
We've got to see through the eyes of Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And listen to the preachers. The preachers I taught this, I did two, three soul winning plans.
And the young preacher boys, we got to teach them how to present themselves in front of those doors.
Oh,
it plays a big role because I don't want the people to know that's the way we're teaching our young folks.
Yeah.
There's a lot of teaching there. I ain't going to get into all that. But we need to teach these young boys. And we need to teach them. We need to teach you how to sow them.
Right.
You might have a sister that, well, I think your whole family been saved, but, you know, do we know? Okay, good. That's good stuff. Ethan, you're at the point where you need to teach somebody, or someone to teach you more. Your dad's doing a good job, your mom's doing a good job, but I'd like for you to be able to read at that door the plan of salvation.
Yeah.
And what to combat. You learn all of this. Mm-hmm. But when was the last time you cried at the altar because our orphans are down? Mm. And then we're human. Mm-hmm. When your small church is a big thing.
Yeah.
It's a big thing. And when was the last time we cried because we're having some hardships on our own? It does hurt. But I'm going to tell you something. That tear that fell from heaven that day on Mount Calvary, that tear that rolled down Jesus' face, that hit that pool of blood, I want you to think about that. And God says you should wipe away all your tears.
Yep.
You were built and I built the tear ducts. They're there for a reason. Look, my Jesus can drop a tear for me.
Boy.
I could drop a tear for his creation.
Right.
As we stand.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. God's good. Heavenly gracious Father, we love you. We thank you, Father, for these preachers here, the messages that we have heard. Make this trial a blessing. As I just got pounded with that in my heart Monday night. Make my trials a blessing, Father. And then Brother Ellis, Father, a lot of doctrines are being twisted and turned upside down. A lot of false teachers out there. And how would they know if we don't preach it, Father? If we don't teach your children?